We're going to begin a new series this morning, and we're going to be studying through the book of Hebrews. So I hope that in the weeks following that you guys will start bringing your Bibles. And we're going to title this series, Better Than Ever, because I believe that God desires for your life to become better than ever. If you believe that, turn to your neighbor and say, amen, amen. But I want to begin the series with a story. It's a story about a few goldfish that lived in a bowl. These goldfish have been living in this bowl for a long time, and they had never even thought about it too much, but they began to talk amongst one another, and they realized that no one had ever been outside the bowl to tell them what was really on the outside and had ever come back. So that thought began to bring a lot of speculation, and there was a lot of discussion that took place among these little goldfish in that bowl. And they began to question one another, and one of them, he had an idea. He said, you know what? Here's what I believe is outside the bowl. He said, I don't believe anything exists outside the bowl because every time I swim up to the edge, I see my reflection in the bowl. And that just means that because I can't see anything, that it must not even exist. There's no existence outside this fishbowl. And the second goldfish, he said, no, that can't be the truth. There's got to be a little bit more than that. He said, what I believe is that we live in this fishbowl, and outside this fishbowl, there's another fishbowl that's just a little bit bigger. And then beyond that fishbowl, there's another one that's just a little bit bigger than that. And then beyond that, there's another one that's bigger than that. So this fishbowl is just inside another fishbowl. And there's just higher levels of fishbowls out there. And the other one, he said, no, that can't be the case. Really, what happens is outside this fishbowl, there is something that exists. But what happened is this fishbowl happened by accident. In the big splash. And he began to propose this theory of using a lot of big words that really impressed the other goldfish about how the big splash really happened by accident, and they were just really just deposited in this fishbowl by chance. Well, there was another goldfish, and he was small, and he was like, you know what, I'm dissatisfied with all those answers. So what he did is he started swimming around the fishbowl. He said, I'm going out. So he swam really fast around the fishbowl, and then he wiggled his tail fast as he could, and he went shot straight up through the shimmering top of the water, and he exited the fishbowl, and the other fish, they just kind of swam to the top, and they waited to see what happened. Well, they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and that little goldfish never came back. So they began to speculate on what might have happened. So one goldfish, he looked to the others, and he said, I know what happened. He swam out of the fishbowl and he has ceased to exist. There is nothing outside the fishbowl. It doesn't exist. There's nothing beyond the fishbowl. Nothing. He just ceased to exist. His life is done. And the second one said, no. What happened was he went out of the fishbowl into the bigger fishbowl, and now he has found a higher level of existence. He now sees life in a lot bigger picture. He can look down upon us. He's just in this higher level, higher plane of understanding and existence. And the third one says, no. He did not reach some higher plane. What he has really done is he has evolved into a different life form altogether. He's probably a new species by now. He's evolved. He's changed. He's different. And to this day, those fish still discuss and question what really is outside the fishbowl and what happened to that little bitty fish. Now, I know you ask the question, what does that story have to do anything with the book of Hebrews? The story has everything to do with it. Because the bad news is this. We, everybody in this room, are just like those goldfish. We're just like them. We have a limited understanding of what lies beyond us. We believe that something else is out there, but we have the incapability of actually seeing it. Why? Because we live in a natural fishbowl. We live in the natural world, and we can't see it, we can't hear it, we can't taste it or smell it. If those are the only things that we can understand. That's the bad news, is we can't understand anything because we are limited. But the good news is this, is that God is active. And he not only wants us to experience what's outside the fishbowl, he has done something to make that happen. You see, here's the catch. There is nothing that you can do to discover God. There is nothing that you can do to discover a better way of life and the plan that God has for you The only way that you can discover a better way of living is if God reveals it to you. It's the only way that happens. Because of our limited abilities, we can't understand God's plan. So what does God do? God does something amazing. He didn't require us to try to swim out of the fishbowl. Instead, God entered the fishbowl and became one of us and began to reveal to us his plan of what he wanted for us and what he desired for us in our life. He has made himself known to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And if we will remain faithful to him, we will have a life that's better than it's ever been. A life that is always on the move because God wants it to be on the move. Now, here's our series verse, and I want us to kind of base everything on this. It's not even in the book of Hebrews, but it gives the entire idea of what Hebrews is all about. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, and here's the entire verse. It's from the Message Bible. You probably don't have that version. It's a paraphrase, but here's the thought that I want you to understand. You can see it on the screen. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Because long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had his eye on us and had designs on us for glorious living. God has a better design than you can ever think of. God has a better plan for your life than you can ever imagine. And that kind of leads us to this. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to make this confession. This is going to be the confession that we're going to believe and we're going to trust, because the confession of your faith is what's going to make a difference in your life. And I've written this phrase out, and I want us to be our confession for the entire series. And I want you to repeat this with me, and we're going to say it strong, so don't skip out on us. This is participation sermon time, all right? Somebody say amen. That's another participation point, all right? So this is a confession of a better than ever life, okay? I want you to say this with me. Let's go. Say it. God's way is better than my way. His plan is better than my plan. His dream for my life is better than anything I have ever imagined. So I will remain faithful to Jesus and trust him to make my life better than ever. Some of you said that with conviction, and some of you just repeated words on the screen. I want you to say it with conviction. Let's do it one more time. Are you ready? God's way is better than my way. His plan is better than my plan. His dream for my life is better than anything I have ever imagined. So I will remain faithful to Jesus and trust him to make my life better than ever. Amen. Now I want you to stand as we read Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 says this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of the glories of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Father, bless your word this morning. May our ears be alive and open. Lord, may our hearts be quickened and alert, Lord, to hear what your word and your living word is speaking to us. I pray that, Lord, that you would reveal to us yourself in your Son Jesus today. In your name we pray it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated today. The Bible says and tells us that God has been revealing himself for a long time. At the very first part of the book of Hebrews, it says that in the past, God has spoke. Now, how many of you have ever heard the voice of God? That would be pretty shaking. Some of you may have. But the audible voice of God has been speaking forever. God speaks in timeless beginning. God has been speaking And if he had not spoken, then we would never even know that God existed, because we cannot get there from our fishbowl. But God reveals himself to us by speaking to us. There was a guy that drove through my neighborhood a week or so ago, and he was lost. And I'm outside mowing grass, and he pulls up next to me, and I guess, he just looked like that I was somebody that had some sense. Although, I was covered in dirt and grass, and my face was all dirty. And he said, "Excuse me," he said, "how can I get onto the other side of 35 from here?" And I looked at him and I said, "You can't get there from here." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, they've got the bridge out. You can't go that way. You can't cross, because there is a divide that you can't get across. You have to go around this way." You see, and that's what it is when it comes to God. We can't get there from where we are. And the only way that we know that God is at work is when God reveals himself to us. The only reason why we know who God is because he has told us who he is. God is outside the fishbowl. He can't be seen. He can't be measured. You can't reproduce God in a test tube. He is completely other. And if he didn't speak, we would not even know that he was there. But God has been speaking. And that's the point the writer of Hebrews makes. God spoke. He spoke. And not only did he speak, and when he speaks and to reveal himself, he didn't just reveal himself, but he wants us to know who he is. I want you to think about it. God created Adam in the garden. And in chapter 3, it says that, in chapter 3, verse 8, it says that God walked with Adam in the cool of the evening. You see, it wasn't good enough for God just to create man, just to create woman. What did he want to do? He wanted them to know him and have relationship with him. God created us so that we could know him. He didn't just create us and wind the clock and then let the clock run. He created us so that we could know him. He wanted us to understand him. Their son, Abel, God wanted to show himself, "Look, I am more than just a sacrifice. There is more to the sacrifice." He wanted Noah to understand him and to know him, that there was a better way to live. That it wasn't just God who hated sin, but there was a God who loved righteousness. "So I want you to build a boat and I'm going to save your family." God spoke to Abraham. He said, "Look, I want you to understand that there is someone who is beyond all of these other gods that Abraham in his day was aware of. But there was not just he's not just a God among many gods. He is the only God who could give you, Abraham, what you have never even dreamed of. What you can never expect." You see, God doesn't want us just to know about him. He wants us to know him. And he communicates, the Bible says, in various ways. God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets in many times and in many different ways. I didn't learn about all the ways of communication until I got married. I thought that you just said something and that was all it was. But what I realized after I got married, and some of you men can shake your head at this, it's not exactly what you say, it's how you say it. Somebody with me? Amen. It's not all in the words. It's how you say the words, or even what words you don't say, or even how you look. I hear my wife up here chuckling. What I have come to realize after being married almost 20 years is that my eyebrows are very important to the communication that goes on between my husband, my wife, and her husband. No. No. I got that fixed real quick, right? The communication we have, like, you know, how many of you guys have ever seen this? And I know that you can't see my eyes, but let me just tell you, don't do that to her. You might catch a shoe in your ear. Sometimes it's what we say, but most of the time it's how we say it. God has been speaking to us in lots of different ways. And the point that you're going to hear all through this entire study through Hebrews is that God is speaking. He has been speaking, And he is speaking, not just in Scripture, but in your life. In everyday life, God is actively speaking. He was active in Abraham's life. God spoke to Abraham through visitations. How would you like to, for God to call up and say, hey, I'm going to be over at 3 for breakfast or for lunch. I'm coming over to your house after church. God spoke to Abraham through visitations. God spoke to Jacob in dreams. Some of you have had dreams where God has spoken to you. God spoke to Moses face to face. The Bible says God spoke to Moses as a friend speaks to another man. God spoke to Elijah in what? A still small voice. God spoke to the prophet Isaiah in a glorious vision of a throne room where a bride was about to have, where there was a bride and there was the glory of God. It was just amazing, this extraordinary vision. God spoke to Isaiah in extraordinary. He spoke to Hosea through his family circumstances. God spoke to Amos through a basket full of fruit. God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. He speaks to you through your family. He speaks to you through your job. He speaks to you through maybe through the radio. He speaks to you through your pastor. He speaks to you through those quiet times. God is always actively speaking because he wants us to know who he is. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But look at verse 2. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Put that verse up there on the screen, Hebrews 1:2. He has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. You see, God has revealed himself completely in Jesus. And the reason why that matters is because you can know about God or you can know God. One is good, but the other is better. Somebody say amen. You can know about a Big Mac or you can know a Big Mac. One's good. The other's better. You can know about a banana split, or you can really know a banana split, like up close and personal. One's good, the other's much better. With Jesus, we know God in a better way because he is the complete embodiment of who God is. John MacArthur made this statement, a theologian. He says this, every religion is but man's attempt to discover God. Christianity is God bursting into man's world and showing and telling man what he is like. God interrupts our life. He interrupted the disciples' life of just fishing and collecting taxes and all those ordinary things. And God shows up in the form, in the man of Jesus Christ. And he shows everyone who God is. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ all of the fullness of the deity resides in bodily form. Jesus is the complete image of God. And he ushers in this new idea of revelation. Jesus shows us who God is. He's a game changer. Jesus is like putting Michael Jordan on the court. He is a game changer. Things change. If you really want to know God, you've got to know Christ. And you've got to know him intimately. There's a lot of people who know about me. And I've discovered that some of the things that people know about me, some of them are true and some of them really aren't. And I'm like, where did you get that information? Well, so-and-so said so-and-so, and then so-and-so told them, and then I heard it. If you really want to know me, you either need to ask my wife, or maybe my children, or you could just ask me. You find out who God is through a lot of different ways, but if you really want to know who God is, you have to see Jesus. You have to talk to Jesus. You want to know what God has planned for your life, you need to find Christ because he is position number one in finding Jesus. God has been progressively revealing himself over and over in all of our lives, but when it comes to Christ, he is the complete fulfillment of all of that. Because Jesus is the connection between the Old and the New Testament. Jesus is the continuity. You see, throughout the entire Word of God, there is only one speaker and there is only one revelation that is taking place through the whole time. It is God speaking and he is revealing Jesus himself in every page of this book. Jesus can be seen in every chapter, in every book in the entire Bible. You can see Jesus in the Old Testament. And let me just give you some example. In Genesis, Jesus is the creator. In Exodus, Jesus is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, Jesus is the high priest. And in Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, Jesus is the great prophet. In Joshua, Jesus is the commander of the armies of God. In Judges, he is the righteous judge. In Ruth, Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, Jesus is the all in all, prophet, priest, and king. In the book of 1 and 2 Kings, Jesus is the ruler of his people. In Chronicles, he is not just the ruler, but he is the king who reigns forever. In the book of Ezra, Jesus is the faithful builder. And in Nehemiah, he is the restorer of those things that are broken. In Esther, Jesus is the protector of his people. And in Job, he is the mediator between God and man. In Psalms, Jesus is our song in the morning and our prayer in the night. In Proverbs, Jesus is complete wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, Jesus becomes the meaning of all life. And in the Song of Solomon, Jesus is the love of our life. In Isaiah, Jesus is the suffering servant. In Jeremiah, he is the weeping Messiah. In Lamentations, he's the bearer of all of our wrath. And in Ezekiel, he's the Son of Man that shines forth the glory of God. In Daniel, he is the stranger that walks with us in the fire. In Hosea, he is a faithful husband, even to an unfaithful wife. In Joel, he is the giver of the Spirit. In Amos, the deliverer of the oppressed. In Obadiah, he's the judge of the wicked. And in Jonah, he's the greatest missionary that's ever traveled to another people. In Micah, he is the caster of all of our sins into the sea of forgetfulness. In Nahum, he is the proclaimer of peace. And in Habakkuk, he's the destroyer of all injustice. In Zephaniah, he is the warrior who saves. In Haggai, the restorer of our worship. In Zechariah, he is the Messiah who was pierced in his hands and in his feet. In Malachi, he is the righteousness who brings healing in his wings. Jesus is seen in every book of the Old Testament. It's always been about Jesus. It's always been about him. Some people come to this church and you think, you know what? What other message do you have? What other message is there? It's Jesus saves, he heals, delivers, and one day he's going to come back for his church that's spotless and ready to go. Jesus is enough. Pastor Michael's going to jump onto that next week. Jesus is enough. When do we need something else? Why do we have to have something more? Jesus is enough. He has given us the Spirit of God to live according to his word. Should I stop in the Old Testament or should I keep going? In the New Testament, the Bible says, when we see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in Matthew, Jesus becomes the Messiah. In Mark, he is the great miracle worker. Thank God. In Luke, he's the Messiah who is our deliverer. And in John, he is the Messiah who wrapped flesh around God. In Acts, he is the ascended Lord and the sender of the Spirit. In Romans, the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he's the power and the love of God. And in 2 Corinthians, he's the down payment for what is to come. In Galatians, he is the one who sets people free. In Ephesians, he's the unity within the church. In Philippians, he's the joy of yours and my life. In Colossians, he's the fullness of all God. In 1 Thessalonians, he is our comfort in the last days. And in 2 Thessalonians, thank God, he's our soon coming king. In 1 Timothy, the savior of the worst sinners. In 2 Timothy, he's the leader of all leaders. In Titus, he's the foundation of all truth. Philemon, he is the man who sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he is the one who washes our sins completely away. In James, he's the maturer of all of our faith. In 1 Peter, he's our hope in times of suffering. He's the one who guards us in 2 Peter. In 1 John, he's the source of all fellowship. 2 John, the God in flesh. And 3 John, the source of all truth. In Jude, he protects us from stumbling. And thank God, in Revelation, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end, and the soon coming King. Amen. Jesus is our message. And God has spoke in times past trying to get that message. He doesn't just want you to know about life. He wants you to know that there is a better life. God has something better for you. A better dream than you could ever imagine. A better plan than you can ever imagine. A better way to live than you can ever imagine. And if you'll remain faithful, to that trust and that hope, if you'll hold on, then you'll find that better life, because that's what these people were struggling with. The book of Hebrews is about a group of people who had heard the message of Jesus. I would dare say that probably everybody in this room has probably heard the name and the message of Jesus Christ at least once before you ever arrived here. It's not a message that you probably are foreign to. In America, we've got a church on every corner. In Texas, it's kind of like entering signing up for the selective service. You got to go to church. It's just kind of part of it. And it becomes a cultural thing, and we miss the whole idea of it. We miss the whole point. Let me tell you something. You've heard the message, but you may be struggling. And that's what happened. The Hebrews, these Jewish Christians in the early church, they were being persecuted. They were living in an anti-Christian culture that basically began to distort and to push the message of Jesus away from them. And they started second-guessing their faith. Have you ever second-guessed your faith? Have you ever found yourself where you're saying, God, are you sure? Are you sure? God has revealed himself completely in Jesus Christ. He says he is the radiance in verse 3 of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Now, I want you to look in verse 3 real quickly. It says that he is the radiance. Some of your translations may say a reflection, but I want you to know that's kind of a distorted understanding of the Greek word there. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. When you look into the mirror, that is a reflection. What you are seeing is light bouncing off of that mirror. When you look up at the moon has no light in itself. What does it do? It reflects the light of the sun. But the Greek word to understand that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory is that light emanates from him. That the glory of God emanates from him. He is not a reflection of God's glory. He is God's glory. He is the same character, the same essence of God. And that was a big issue for these people. Jesus, is he God or is he not? Is he just a good prophet, a good preacher, but he lived and died and it's over with? We are beyond the resurrection. We celebrated Easter last week. And during this following week, that was when the disciples ran into the most questions. Is this story of Jesus real? Did we do the right thing? Were we following? We spent the last 3 years of our life for what? Is Jesus God or is he not? Well, when he rose from the grave, that should put an exclamation point that Jesus is God, and that's what they were struggling. Is Jesus God? Yes, most certainly he is God. He's not just a great teacher, a great prophet. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus made the statement to himself in John 8:12. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He's the exact representation. He's not a carbon copy. He is God. He is the representation of God. And then he says, the Bible says that he sustains all of these things by speaking. Let me tell you something. When God speaks, when Jesus speaks, he sustains. When God spoke in the beginning in Genesis, he spoke the world into existence. But today, as Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, he's continuing to speak. And his speaking, that word, his word, that powerful word is rhema dunamai, which means there is a powerful, direct word being spoken by Christ. Now, he's not the Logos, not just the word that is completely true and real and evident. He is the power behind all sustaining life. Do you remember in the scriptures when Jesus was walking, or when Jesus was asleep in the boat and they were trying to get to the other side, what happened? Jesus stood up in the middle of the boat and he said what? Peace be still. And the storm stilled immediately and the waves stopped. Do you remember when Jesus walked to the tomb and there stood the sisters of Lazarus? What did Jesus say? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And that powerful rhema word that Jesus spoke raised the dead to life. Here's the great thing about this. Jesus is speaking into your life today. There may be some words that Jesus wants to speak into your life today. He may want to speak healing directly, that a powerful rhema word to you, and speak healing over your body. And I believe those of you who came earlier, I believe God spoke to you and spoke healing out of the voice of Christ. He may want to speak healing for brokenness. He may want to speak direction. He may want to give you guidance. He may want to show you who He is and reveal Himself. He may want to give you a greater understanding. But there's power in the words of Jesus. He sustains us. Not only does God reveal Himself, but He dealt with the greatest of all human problems, and that's sin. It says that He is the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. And then after He had provided purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of God in the majesty of heaven. This is the heart of God's revelation to us. You see, God's plan has always been this. I want you to know Me. You can't come where I am, but I can go where you are. I'll enter the fishbowl, and I will save you from your sins. The sin that separates us, the bridge was out. You can't get there from here. I want to cross that divide. And He laid the cross down so that we would be able to walk across and to know Him. But Jesus dealt with our sin, and that's always been God's idea. I've got a plan, it's better. I'm going to deal with sin in our life. And Jesus did that. Romans 5:8 says this, God demonstrates His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ came and He gave His life as a ransom for us. He paid the price. He paid the penalty. He purified us. The Bible says He purified us. He paid the fee that was going to cost us our life. The idea that we see here in the scripture in Hebrews is we were all sinful. We were all dirty. We all wore around some dirty clothes. But Jesus comes along and He cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. Can I just speak a word to you? Some of you are still wrestling with the life and the person that you used to be. You're still struggling with all of that stuff. And you're wondering, how could God forgive me of these things? Let me tell you something. Jesus purifies us completely. And as I said earlier in the book of Nahum, He casts our sins into the sea of forgetfulness and He doesn't remember them anymore. Your sin is forgotten. I said, your sins are forgotten. He has paid the price of your past sins, your present sins, and even your future sins. He has won because sin has been paid for. He has purified you. God wants us to reveal that He has a plan and deals with sin. Let me close with this story. Teacher wanted her students to do a creative writing assignment. It was a young bunch of kindergartners. I read this story this week. It really impressed me. There's a story of a little boy named Mark, and the teacher called his parents and she said, hey, look, I want you to be aware of something that Mark wrote during our creative writing assignment. They said, okay. She said, I told a story about the ant and the grasshopper, and basically the story was that the ant worked all summer long to store up food and to collect food so that in the wintertime, he would have something to eat to sustain him and keep him alive. But the grasshopper, instead of storing up food, doing what he needed to do, he played all summer long. He didn't care anything about it. He didn't think about it. He just played and he just did whatever he needed to do. And he didn't have any food. So when winter came, the grasshopper came up to the ant and said, hey, Mr. Ant, you know, I didn't store up anything. Would you please give me some of your food? And I told the kids that story, and then I asked the kids to complete the rest of the story and write out what the rest of the story is. She said, most of the kids, what they did was they wrote, so Mr. Ant said, okay, and he shared some of his food with the grasshopper, and the grasshopper and the ant both lived. And she said, some of the kids said that they wrote the story, and the Mr. Ant said, no, grasshopper, you played while I was working, and so I'm not going to give you any food. So the ant lived through the winter, and the grasshopper died. She said, but your son, Mark, wrote something exceptional that in all my years of teaching, I've never heard anybody do this. She said, what Mark wrote was this. And she pulled his paper out and she wrote this. And she said, Mark wrote that the ant took all of his food, every bit of it, and he gave it to the grasshopper. for the winter. And the grasshopper lived, and the ant died. And at the bottom of the page, there was three crosses that were drawn at the bottom of the creative assignment. That's exactly what Jesus did. He took everything that he had, and he gave it to us. God showed himself. Everything that God had, the greatest thing that he could give was his own son. He gave him to us so that we might live through the death, through his death on a cross. Let me give you a couple of takeaways. In these first four verses, just understand that God is speaking. It shows me two things. Number one, it shows me that God loves us. God loves us. We're stuck in a fishbowl. We can't get out, but God loves us enough to interject himself into our life. Let me tell you something. God has interjected himself into your life. Moms, dads, he's injected himself into your life, into your marriage, into your family. He's injected himself into your life so that you might see him and reveal him, because he has a better plan for you. And if you don't know Jesus, you have never experienced that plan. Not just that great love, but I see hope. There is hope. Because in our life, knowing that we have all failed God, Jesus brings us hope. And God says, I want to reveal you to hope, the hope in life, that there is a better life, that there is a better way to live, that you can have life better than ever, because you can unhitch the plow that's been dragging behind you all of your life, and you can follow my plan, and you can go my way, and I will give you more than you could ever imagine. I will bless you more than you can ever imagine. I see hope, and I see love, and I see them working in tangent. So God is speaking. God is speaking to you today. He's spoken to you already. He may be speaking you to this afternoon or this week. But I want you to know God is and has been and always will be speaking to your life. And the question that I want to leave you with this morning is, are you listening? Are you listening to what he's saying? It may be like Elijah, a quiet voice. God may speak to you plainly through my words. He may speak to you in a vision. He may speak to you through a dream. But God wants to speak to you because he wants you to know him and to share this better life and to live a life that's better than ever. Would you bow your heads with me all over this room? Father, I thank you today because I know that, Lord, your plans and your ways, as Isaiah 55 tells us, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Lord, you have something in store for us in each one of our lives that some of us have never even imagined. And Lord, you're speaking. You are speaking to us today. And if we will hear your voice and if we will follow you, we will recognize what you're trying to do in our life. I take just a moment just to ask if there's anybody in this room, I always do this, who doesn't know Jesus. Don't let this moment slip away. You're not guaranteed another. You don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Somehow you have always missed that call. You've always missed his voice. But today you've heard it plain and clear. And you want to make him your Lord and Savior. You have not done that before. But he's speaking to you right now. If there's anybody in the room, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? That's me today. I want to know Jesus. I want to know him so that I can realize the plan that God has for my life. Is there anybody here today? Yep. Right over here. Thank you, young lady. You can put your hand down. I want to know him. I just want to pray right now for her. And then I want to pray God's blessing upon you before Pastor Michael comes. Father, I just pray that, Lord, that you would show her yourself in such a real way. Lord, every imagination that she has ever had, Lord, of what her life was intended for, Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would be the center of that. Like a bicycle wheel, Lord. Everything that goes out of her life, Lord, would be centered upon you. Lord, I pray that you would take her heart. And she would repent of her sins. She would turn away, God, from whatever things that she was Lord, missing the mark of the sins, Lord God, that just hung on her. Free her, Lord, from those things. And you said, Lord, if we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that you've been raised from the dead, Lord, then we will be saved. And Lord, I just pray that today, as she prays this prayer right now, she prays this prayer, Lord Jesus, that you would just touch her, cleanse her life, give her hope and a future. And for everyone else in this church, I pray that, oh God, that we would center you, Lord, that we would hear you speak. Let our ears be open to you. And if you haven't spoken to us this morning and addressed the issues, Lord, then I pray that it would be tomorrow or today or this afternoon, Lord, or on Wednesday or whenever it might be. Lord, continue to speak and, Lord, continue to help our ears to hear you. Give us direction. Give us strength. Speak encouragement to us. Hold us up and sustain our life by your powerful word. In Jesus' name.